Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Michael Savage reporting from San Francisco, USA. London is aflame. Riots are broken out across England. Riots break out around globe amid economic anxiety, as Drudge is reporting. Rioters are burning and looting, attacking police. There is no end in sight. The police, again, were slow to react. Not even plastic bullets, not even a water cannon. I want you to listen to what we're about to play for you as you hear two London white trash rioters. Two of the London slime that in past days would have been cleaning slop houses, as a result of living on welfare all of their lives, these two hotties are sitting in the street boasting about what they just burned and looted. Listen.
Everyone was just going to riot, just going mad, like chucking things, chucking bottles.
Breaking into stuff.
It was good,
breaking
though.
Into shot. It was madness.
Yeah, it was good, though.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
So you're drinking a bottle of rosé wine.
At 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Free alcohol.
Have you been drinking all night?
Yeah. Like, it's the government's fault.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Conservatives.
Yeah, whatever who it is,
I don't
know.
It's not even a right, it's showing the police we can do what we want.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, showing the police we can do what we want, and now we have.
So do you reckon it will go on tonight?
Yeah, hopefully, definitely. Hopefully.
But these, like, local people, I mean, why is it targeting local people and your own people?
It's the rich people. It's the rich people, the people that have got businesses, and that's why all of this has happened, because the rich people. So we're just showing the rich people that we can do what we want.
It's the rich people who own businesses. I told you the middle class was going to be attacked. And now we have in America a similar mentality amongst California Governor Jerry Brown, who, although his accent is not quite as limey, has the same rhetoric. You must listen to clip 7. Here is Governor Jerry Brown, who, although he has not yet encouraged the mobs to burn and to loot, listen to what he says in 7.
At some point, I would hope that people would be willing to pay some more money. And if necessary, I believe there will be on the ballot next November opportunities for the people to say, yeah, I'm willing to pay a little more money. If they don't, we will continue to retrench, and we will erode the university, the safety net, the roads, the firefighting, the prisons, the jails.
Yeah, of course they're going to want to vote for more, Jerry. You're going to ask the illegal aliens who put you in power to vote. You're going to ask the unions to vote 3 times, because as you well know, according to the unions, some men are more equal than others. Some people are only 3/5 a person. And of course, that's how the Democrat socialist slime machine continues to roll on, using the unemployed, the underemployed, the illegal alien, the non-citizen to continue to vote themselves raises. This is classic delusional thinking. It is class warfare. Liberals are insane. They think that spending more money will fix the economy when the reverse is true. In England, rioters are robbing people on the street, forcing them to strip naked. You've got to look at some of these pictures. The rioters are robbing white people on the streets, forcing them to strip naked, to show the rich people we can do what we want. And when they were asked who the rich were, why, it's those who own the cream shop. Why, it's those who own the bakery. So the Londoners who survived the Blitz, old English who had businesses over 100 years old, who survived the German Blitzkrieg, are now succumbing to the vermin in the gutter because of the lack of leadership, the lack of spine amongst leaders such as Cameron, who have catered to the radical left, catered to the poor, catered to the vermin, catered to the radical Muslims, and now this is what you get. And of course, it's a result of the people being unarmed. Let's be very clear. Let's be very clear. Let's be very, very clear. No water cannons for the trash in the streets of England, but they use them on the Irish. No bullets for the vermin who are burning England to the ground, but they use the bullets on the Irish. It just shows you there's no England anymore. And here in America, it hasn't started, and let's pray to God it doesn't. We don't know who might trigger it. Of course, with rhetoric of the type coming out from Jerry Brown, John Kerry, MSNBC, it's only a matter of time until someone finally throws a match onto the embers. We have a flash report on the Drudge Report, who has been picked for the super committee, those who will decide what to cut and how to tax. And on top of the list is none other than military-hating John Kerry. John Kerry and the radical psychotic Murray is on the list. Democrats Murray, Baucus, and Kerry on the super committee. That includes Senator Patty Murray of Washington. John Kerry of Massachusetts have been picked. We will name more. And these are the people, as you well know, who will have you. I have to understand that Murray is also chairing the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee for the 2012 election cycle. How could she be on the committee? Answer, because Chicago is running America. Answer, because Harry Reid answers to those people who are not voting, but those people who kept him in power in during the last election. House Speaker John Boehner, Ohio, Nancy Pelosi of California, and Senate Minority Leader Mitch the Gobbler McConnell each must name three members to the panel by August 16th. No doubt they'll pick John the Shame McShane, who will do everything he can to attack everything worth living for in the United States of America. I can ask you questions about the London riots, but most of you are dumbfounded because you don't even know they're happening. In fact, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. The media has so shielded you from what's going on in England that most of you don't even know what's going on in England, including people in England. I am an old friend of mine who is as London as they come. He was born in London. So I emailed him. I said, how do you like England these days? And he said, I really don't know what you're talking about. I'm in a farmhouse in the French countryside without Wi-Fi. So the thing is that the rich are not being affected by the vermin in the streets. You know, they're rich now. Well, the shopkeepers there. Now, these girls are in the past, these are the chicken pluckers, I would call them. These are the lower classes that Dickens wrote about. They're the natural chicken plucker class, who have never worked a day in their life. They've collected welfare. They've seen their alcoholic mothers and hooker fathers basically never work a day in their life. And so anybody who has anything is the rich. And if you think that the UK riots are disconnected from here, you are mistaken. If you'd like to comment on the UK riots, you can do so by calling 1-800-449-8255. It's the Savage Nation. Pat in Wisconsin, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I got to say, you know, it doesn't matter what's happening over in Europe. Standard & Poor's has made that apparently clear by lowering the United States credit when Greece and France and Europe and all those other countries are in worse off terms than we are. I mean, they've made it apparently clear that, you know, they don't want America in the global economy.
Well, the difference, you see, but you're making one fundamental mistake in your thinking, and none of those nations that you mention are the reserve currency of the world.
Well, but we're not going to be in the near future.
Well, but what I'm saying is the reason Standard & Poor's focused on our the health, or actually the illness of our currency, or our economy, if you want to put it in the broader sense, is because the U.S. dollar was, or is, or still is, rather, the reserve currency of the world, not the Greek dinar. So therefore, why should they downgrade what's already useless to anybody? So therefore, the U.S. currency is what's important, and so is the U.S. economy. And since Obama has destroyed it, along with Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and the other communist socialists who have decided that they should never tighten their belt, no balance budget, just spend more, unnecessary roads to nowhere, build buildings that nobody will ever occupy, because the construction industry, as you well know, is the most important industry to the unions. I mean, let's be clear. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. If you get a comment on what's going on around the world, today is the day to do it. However, if you think it's limited to Europe, you're mistaken. In Philadelphia, Mayor Mike Nutter talks tough to black teenagers after flash mobs went out rioting in the streets. Listen to the, you got to hear the mayor now in clip 22.
That's part of the problem in the black community and many other communities. But a particular problem in the black community is we have too many men making too many babies that they don't want to take care of, and then we end up dealing with your children. We're not running a big babysitting service. We're running a big government and a great city. Take care of your children.
Now, I guess they could call him racist, Mayor Mike Nutter of Philadelphia, but the problem for MSNBC is that I think he is African-American. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So, England is on fire. They're attacking the middle class, burning shops to the ground that survived the German Blitz. The folks who'll be working in the sewers, chicken pluckers, as I call them, living on the government, handout, the dole. Their parents probably never worked a day in their life, and they're enjoying themselves. They got the free wine. They broke into wine stores. They're drunk in the streets. And the liberals are wringing their hands in England, saying, well, what do these young people want? How have we failed the young people? They must have legitimate grievances. You know, the same stuff that you've heard from your liberal wife or your liberal husband is that the poor have legitimate grievances. I know I grew up poor. Everyone I knew was poor. Nobody burned their apartment building to the ground. No one hated the man who owned the candy store or the bakery shop. In fact, they wanted to own a bakery store or a candy shop, and so they usually worked their way up. But then it was a different time. You know, call me old-fashioned. Call me a throwback. Government never gave anyone I knew a check, except people who worked for Social Security. Those who fought in World War II received VA benefits and VA loans, as they should have. There was no such thing as an illegal alien collecting a check. Impossible to believe. So therefore, my perspective is a little warped. I don't have the same view as those of you who watch television news. So London, England on fire, and they're doing it again. The police won't use plastic bullets or water cannons on the vermin. They save those for the Irish. Because as you well know, to the English, who are amongst the most racist people on the planet, the Irish were only 4/5 a person, if that much. I mean, the Irish are probably 3/5 a person to the English. Wisconsin, Chris, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, if there were white males or Christians that were doing these riots, you probably would have heard it immediately in the media. But I do believe when you look at the areas like Nottingham and Leeds and the areas that are starting to torch now, I know that there's high Arab populations in those areas. And just I'm kind of wondering if
well, but they're an oppressed minority. You have to understand. I mean, they're oppressed. First of all, it's not there's no Sharia law. That's number one. And if you don't have Sharia law, you can't expect anyone to abide by the law. So to them, there is no law because English law doesn't apply. That's number one. Number two, they have legitimate grievances. I mean, they may come from families where nobody works. And so therefore, maybe they should own the country. I mean, if everybody spoke Arabic in England and there was Sharia law and the whites were cleaning the gutters, then perhaps there would be the unrest would go away. Maybe there'd be less unrest if the whites were cleaning the gutters, don't you think?
Yes. Absolutely. But at the same time, though, I mean, you look at the multicultural system that is taken over.
Oh, yeah. Multiculturalism has been a fabulous success everywhere you turn. Look at San Francisco. Gang murders in the streets. Out of control. Trash in the gutters. Multiculturalism has destroyed Western civilization. Liberalism, by the way, if you actually look at what liberalism has done, it's destroyed the Western civilization, which it intended to do. I remember the 70s when the feminists would scream, hey, hey, ho, ho, Western civilization has got to go. Hey, hey, they sang it, they did it, and here we are. We have 25 or 21 American heroes who were laid to rest, and Obama, to his eternal shame, does not even let the media in on that funeral. Doesn't even let the world see them come, their coffins coming off the plane, because they would see that he's the most incompetent commander-in-chief in history to put all those boys on a single slow-turning helicopter. Somebody should go to jail for what happened over there in Afghanistan. They won't even lose their pension. They'll probably become the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. No doubt Dianne Feinstein is looking in to see who was behind the mission in Afghanistan to see if she could somehow put that person on the staff. whatever her name might be. New York, Gary, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, two about the UK riots. The first one is somebody should speak to our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. Remember Hillary, Michael, when she was spouting about her, it takes a village to raise a child? Well,
yes.
I think what we're seeing in England these days is, if it takes a village to raise a child, and the children that they raise turn into animals. And as was stated...
Oh, you can't say that. My dog would get insulted. Please don't say they're animals. Teddy just heard that, and a tear came down his left eye.
You're right. You're an amateur animal.
My dog is better behaved than those subhumans. They have no legitimate grievances that a water cannon or a plastic bullet or a nightstick wouldn't have controlled.
Well, I don't think...
There's no law and there's no order because it's the English. But it's going on here in America. Here's Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter talking tough to black teenagers after flash mobs went wild in the streets of Philadelphia. You heard one of the sound bites earlier. You got to listen to this now in clip 28. Here's the mayor of Philadelphia talking to black teenagers. Listen.
And if you go to look for a job, don't go blame it on the white folks or anybody else. If you walk in somebody's office with your hair uncombed and a pick in the back and your shoes untied and your pants half down, tattoos up and down your arm, on your face, on your neck, and you wonder why somebody won't hire you, they don't hire you because you look like you're crazy.
Well, I guess Obama can now look into seeing if he can charge Mayor Mike Nutter with a hate crime. Because although he's black himself, the fact is that once he's gone off the reservation, like this, he has lost his protection as a protected class of American citizen. You can't go talking that way to minorities. Even if you're a minority, you lose your minority status if you talk that way to minorities. You understand how the liberal police work. Listen to clip 27 now if you want to have more fun. Go ahead, play it.
And why don't you work on extending your English vocabulary? Extend your English vocabulary beyond a few curse words that you know. Some other grunts and grumbles and other things that none of us can understand what you're saying.
Nutter for president.
Savage.
Four, grow it.
Well, it's exactly 10 o'clock, and this is Curry's Digital, just up the road from Clapham Junction. For the last three quarters of an hour, kids have been in and out of this store, taking whatever they want, really. Some of the stuff they haven't even been able to take. There's a flat-screen television here you can see lying broken on the floor, a video recorder there, coat hangers all over the place, and these are a couple of people who appear to have been at it.
Are you a gentleman?
No, I live here. I'm just astounded at what you're doing.
Well, we're getting our taxes back.
You're getting your taxes back?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Obviously, we pay taxes.
So by stealing things, you're getting your taxes back. Are you proud of this? Are you proud of what you're doing? Are you proud of what you're doing? Okay. She apparently says she's getting her taxes back.
Could you believe this? Here is a piece of vermin in the streets of England saying that she's burning, looting, rioting, stoning, because she's getting her taxes back. I wonder where she got that. The Labour Party, number two. Where they get this rhetoric from? What do you mean taxes back? They don't pay taxes, most of them. So we have to go now to you have to listen to this again. You have to listen to the juxtaposition of what, you don't have to understand what's going on in England right now. Stores that survive the German Blitz are now gone. One family business, 143 years on a corner, burned to the ground by the vermin, the chicken pluckers. The chicken pluckers' revenge. And the police are nowhere to be seen, of course. They're busy checking their pensions. They're on their Blackberries to see what kind of disability pay they might get for having broken a hangnail. No bullets. No water cannons. The so-called Prime Minister Cameron, the fake conservative who told me he'd take my name off the list of banned before he was prime minister and then stabbed me in the back, was on vacation, probably in Mallorca, having his calamari, probably in Mallorca. But I understand he's come back. And here in America, we got Representative Jan Schakowsky saying, put people to work by taxing the rich. You got Governor Jerry Brown saying, raise taxes. sounding just like the rioters without the limey accent. And then on the other hand, we have a legitimate mayor, a decent mayor of Philadelphia, Mike Nutter, talking tough to black teenagers after flash mobs went rioting in the streets of Philadelphia. You should understand that this man, Mike Nutter, is a religious man. I want you to listen to now clip 23.
You are around for the sex. Now be around for the parenting. Be around for the parenting, because let me tell you something. The Immaculate Conception of our Lord Jesus Christ took place a long time ago, and it didn't happen here in Philadelphia. So every one of these kids has two parents who were around and participating at the time. They need to be around now. Ain't no Immaculate Conception happening up in here.
Listen to him in clip 25. This guy is great. Listen.
You've damaged yourself. You damaged another person. You've damaged your peers. And quite honestly, you damaged your own race. You damaged your own race. So to our young people, if you want black folks, if you want white folks, Latinos, Asians, or anybody else to respect you and not be afraid when they see you walking down the street, then leave the innocent people who are walking down the street minding their own damn business, leave them alone. Stop it. Cut it out. We've had enough of this nonsense going on. We've had enough.
And then he goes on to their costumes in 26, something I've said a lot about in clip 26.
Pull your pants up and buy a belt, because no one wants to see your underwear or the crack of your butt. Nobody. Buy a belt. Buy a belt. Nobody wants to see your underwear. Comb your hair and get some grooming skills.
Now, of course, this didn't make it to the vermin on MSNBC. They're asking why the young people, I love when they call them young people, put an AK-47 in their hand, you'll see how young they are, why the young people are so disenfranchised and wringing their hands on the other channels, asking what society has done wrong, how they failed them. But apparently Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter doesn't feel as though anyone failed these black teenagers who were rioting in Philadelphia. And he spoke to his congregation at Mount Carmel Baptist Church, and you can hear the congregation was totally along with him. You understand that? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We are waiting to see if the Obama administration under Attorney General Holder will charge the Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter with a hate crime for having said these things to oppressed minorities, even though he's a minority himself. As I said to you, once a minority stands up to other minorities and uses rhetoric like this, he might be accused of a hate crime in the new America. We'll have to see if the Department of Homeland Security chimes in and charges him with some kind of terroristic crime, because he is actually aiming it at black children. I mean, they're only children. They may be tall and strong, but they're only children, and they haven't had a chance at life yet. And the fact is, this man is speaking to them, and although he's an African-American himself, he is insulting them. And it's racial. It's clearly racial. And I believe DHS and the FBI should investigate the Philadelphia mayor for having said these things, when you think about it. Because, after all, he's not on talk radio, and he has an obligation to be more civil. He should be very civil, like John Kerry. So what would you like to talk about in the Savage Nation? You think it's a joke? It isn't a joke. It's frightening, because it is going to happen here. Susan in Ohio, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mr. Savage. It's an honor to talk to you. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were there. I wanted to thank you for what you said last
I'm eating
night.
French fries in between. When I say yes, say something, gives me a chance to have a bite. So talk, please. I didn't mean to lose my temper.
I loved what you said. Well, it was horrible, but I really appreciated what you said last night about our troops, about the SEAL team members, and I just oddly thought earlier that day that, you know, what a strange thing that they would die, and you just put it all out there.
They were all put on one slow-turning helicopter by somebody in the U.S. military who should be arrested and tried for murder.
Oh, yeah. I think they were sold out.
And the president should be ashamed of himself for not telling America to lower their flags to half staff. What's he saving it for?
Yeah.
What's he saving it for? One of his visitors to the White House? If they slip on an ice cube that falls out of a Mai Tai?
I don't want to say anymore.
I don't want to say any more on that issue. Whoever made that decision to put the seals on one helicopter committed murder. They committed murder. Murder, murder, murder. Liz in Pittsburgh, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I agree 100% about the oppression in Ireland. I grew up in the south of Ireland, and every week in the summer, they have Orange Week, and they burn out our houses and our barn. So as far as I consider, let them burn themselves to the ground.
All right, that's one lady's opinion. But my point was a little different. Pardon me for eating on the air. I shouldn't do it. I never did it in 18 years. I tried it. I'm not going to do it again. But I'm under a lot of tension. Dental work for 4 days. The economy melting down. The absentee goofball president. The death of the SEALs with absolutely nothing in America, like it never happened. But if a degenerate vermin who happens to be able to sing like a warbler, if a degenerate vermin who's been shooting herself up for 10 years finally dies because she wanted to die for shooting herself up, flowers and balloons and clowns and crying on the television for weeks. Navy SEALs, nothing happened. By the way, where's Coach Stinko? Where's Coach Stinko on the deaths in Afghanistan? Where are those fetid, rotting fruit from the bottom of the jungle floor now that Obama's killing people all over the world? Where is Coach Stinko? 1-800-449-8255. It's all on michaelsavage.com. It's sickening. There's anarchy in England. The reason you have anarchy is because you have men without spines running the country. You have, well, it was put in a better way, really, by T.S. Eliot when he wrote The Hollow Man. The Hollow Man. Right, Beowulf? Remember The Hollow Man? We have hollow men running the entire West. All of the West are run by hollow men. And those who pull the strings made billions, if not trillions, on the downgrade of the currency. You can guarantee that much of the money that was made by that hedge fund is going to Obama's reelection campaign. You can guarantee it. But you'll never find out who made the money. You'll never find out where the money went. You'll never find out how the money wound up in their hands. Never. Not only is there no England anymore, there's no U.S. anymore. Because, again, we have hollow men running this country. Okay? So what would you like to talk about? There's lots to talk about. England's burning. America's next. It's going to be a long, hot summer because you got the vermin of the Democrat Party screaming about the rich and raising taxes. It's only a matter of time until some of these vermin in the streets get the message, wink, wink, burn it down, baby, burn. It's only a matter of time until Jerry Brown finally winks enough for them to get the message. Winks. Winks, winks. You get it? It's only a matter of time until I finally get it. We are the hollow men. We are the stuffed men leaning together. Headpiece filled with straw. Alas, our dried voices, when we whisper together, are quiet and meaningless, as wind in dry grass, or rat's feet over broken glass in our dry cellar. Shape without form, shade without color, paralyzed force, gesture without motion. Those who have crossed with direct eyes to death's other kingdom, remember us, if at all, not as lost violent souls, but only as the hollow men, the stuffed men. Go read it again if you never read it before. The Hollow Men by T.S. Eliot, 1925. Reading it to you on the Savage Nation, because that's who's running England. That's who's running America. That's who's running the entire Western establishment. And the people behind them are invisible. You've never heard of them. You don't know who they are. You have no idea how much money they made. King Midas is a pauper compared to what these people have made and are making on our troubles. That's one man's opinion. New York, Carl, welcome from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Mayor Nutter for president. I would get behind that man. I think the whole America would get behind that man. Not just black America, not just Hispanic America. America. We get a man who would speak the truth.
Well, that's why I say Mayor Mike Nutter may be investigated now for a hate crime for speaking so harshly to the black youths who rioted in Philadelphia. Your rhetoric, you're no longer protected by any kind of a special consideration.
Listen, they would fear that man. That's why they would go in.
See, that's the kind of man we need to run the country, not the hollow man, Obama. Everyone knows Obama's the hollow man, the stuffed man, a headpiece filled with straw. Who do you think T.S. Eliot was talking about? Shall I read the rest of it? I don't think no one listens to poetry anymore. Unless it's some kind of menopausal hate poem. I mean, who wants to? There's no such thing as poetry. What's taught in the university now is menopausal hate poems. You know, something against the oppressive male or whatever. Anything on a higher level, they don't even know it's poetry. Real poetry is considered just, well, beneath contempt. It's not worth listening to. It's got to be some scream from the guts of the feminist who's oppressed, or a poor minority who hasn't been able to figure out how to speak more than 50 words of English. Now, there you got poetry. Right to Harvard on full scholarship. If you speak less than 50 words of English, let's say, and you've burned a building down somewhere in a ghetto in America, the selection committee at Harvard considers that extracurricular activities worthy of admission to the Kennedy School of Government, equal to a child who could crack atoms in his basement with a homemade chemistry set. If not superior, actually, when you think about it, because the poor oppressed minority didn't have those rich white parents encouraging him. And therefore, the child who burned the building down and wrote some kind of poem about his butt or the crack of his pants, is actually a superior being. You got to look at it from the point of view of liberalism. I mean, they're so intelligent, that's why the West is on fire and the economy's broken. You know, that's all. So how do you break this up now? What do I do now? Play Jerry Brown, basically saying a similar thing? Yeah, listen to clip 7. Tell me that clip 7 is not winking at the poor to go out in the streets and riot. Listen.
At some point, I would hope that people will be willing to pay some more money. And I, if necessary, I believe there will be on the ballot next November opportunities for the people to say, yeah, I'm
all right. All right, knock it off. I pay 10% state taxes here. I'm not paying any more money. You push men like me out of the state, you know what you're going to have left? Exactly what you want, Jerry. The illegal aliens, the welfare recipients, and the union goons. And let's see who you can get money from then. Drive all of the earners out of the state and see who's left. They're delusional. You have to understand liberalism is a mental disorder, number one. You have to understand, number two, that liberals who fantasize that more spending will fix the economy are not only insane, but stupid on top of it all. You know, you could be insane and you could be intelligent. These people are insane and stupid. They don't even learn from reality. And then you have a man like Nutter, Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter, talking tough to black teenagers after flash mobs went wild in the streets. It's amazing, the differential. The guy is just great. I love it. I love it. Play clip 28. I like that's my favorite.
And if you go to look for a job, don't go blame it on the white folks or anybody else. If you walk in somebody's office with your hair uncombed and a pick in the back and your shoes untied and your pants half down, tattoos up and down your arm, on your face, on your neck, and you wonder why somebody won't hire you, they don't hire you because you look like you're crazy.
There you go. I think this is a case for the FBI, the DHS, Department of Internal Affairs. Certainly the president himself should come out and say something against Philadelphia Mike Nutter for talking this tough to black teenagers who were simply expressing their rage, their inner rage, for their frustrations because of the lack of jobs and the lack of chances in the society. And I think that this man is guilty of some kind of hate crime. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure that Eric Holder can write it up overnight. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You're just hanging out there. Maybe you're sending a check or bringing some cash by. That's not being a father. You're just a human ATM. You're just an ATM. And if you're not providing the guidance and you're not sending any money, you're just a sperm donor. You're just a sperm donor. You're what the girls call out in the street, that's my baby daddy. That's my baby daddy. That's not
good. And now he built, I want you to go to 22 because that's the best. Play it right now, Sam.
That's part of the problem in the black community and many other communities. But a particular problem in the black community is we have too many men making too many babies that they don't want to take care of, and then we end up dealing with your children. We're not running a big babysitting service. We're running a big government and a great city. Take care of your children.
Yeah, I hope that Mr. Obama hears this, or Mr. Governor Jerry Brown, Maybe they could learn something from the Philadelphia mayor, who knows what's really going on. And then when you go over to London or anywhere in England right now, you'll find that the social media was used to spread Britain's unrest, exactly like what's happening in the so-called Arab Crescent. The riots in England right now are being spread by text messages, such as, if you're down for making money, we're about to go hard in East London, one looter message before the violence spread. Others direct troublemakers to areas of untapped riches, stores selling expensive stereo equipment, designer clothes, alcohol, and bicycles. The messages are being sent via BlackBerries, are being used by mobs to encourage more rioting across Britain. Now, you could say that this incendiary mixture of conditions that converge during Europe's sleepy summer vacation season is the reason that really did it, because the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. But many of the masked vermin with the hoods on have been photographed typing messages on their cell phones while flames engulf cars and buildings. Fact of the matter is, there's also alcohol involved. Some of Tuesday night's rioters in England bragged of booze-fueled rampages. As you well know, the English are a nation of drunks. It's well known. In fact, puking on a car fender is now the national sport in England in a back alley. They wipe themselves up and then come out and look like ladies and gentlemen. But the nation itself has degenerated completely. Totally collapsed as a nation. Take a look at the hollow men running it. Take a look at who they elected. So you've got violence being spread by Facebook, through BlackBerries, social networks, and the rioters are rioting with impunity. British police, as you well know, the worst in the world, because they're so liberal, are not allowed to use water cannon or plastic bullets. Only those are only allowed to be used on Irish, because Irish, as you well know, to the English, are only 4/5 a person.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
To the people, bring it on down. It feels good, do it. Burn, baby, burn. It's going to be a long, hot summer. Now, I'm not saying I'm calling for violence, but if you start making cuts to the safety net and to the social welfare of the people on the bottom, I mean, I can't guarantee what might not happen. California, California, California. Name them and shame them. Name them and shame them. Liberals running the Western world, and the world is burning. The world is melting down, and they're calling for more taxes. As you well know, England's been burning for 3 nights now. Stores that survived the Blitz by the Nazis have been burned to the ground. People's lives ruined by vermin with BlackBerries and tight pants. We don't know if Anderson Cooper is amongst them yet, but with all of that testosterone and all those tight pants, we expect we'll get a live report any moment from Anderson Cooper telling us that it's the young people And they're using their Blackberries to spread the message about, well, whatever it is. It's just very exciting to be there. I mean, you go from one country to the other. First, you bring Egypt to the burn Egypt to the ground and bring in the Muslim Brotherhood. Then you dash off to Algeria, Morocco, then back to West Los Angeles. Who knows, I mean, where he might show up next. UK locks down as nights of unrest spread. Rioters rob white people on street, forcing them to strip naked. They're showing rich people what we can do what we want. Cameron, whatever his name is, orders 10,000 more police onto streets, but they're not allowed to use plastic bullets nor water cannons. Those are reserved only for the Irish, as you well know. To the English, the Irish are not full humans. And so the rioters are not being given what they need, which is a nice stiff kick in the butt, plastic bullets and water cannons to begin with. This never would have happened if they had police the way we have them here. Can it happen here? Of course it can happen here, especially with the individual in the White House, who, as you well know, is very anxious for a new tax increase. And there's no better way to get a tax increase than to use social media to spread in unrest in America, anarchy, riots, etc. So burn, baby, burn could be coming to a neighborhood near you. We don't know. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. It could happen. The way the police now have rules of engagement, it could happen. Looting, burning, looting, looting, burning. And we have two of the chicken pluckers from England caught on tape by the BBC, two London rioters, speaking with BBC, saying that the riots are about, well, it's about the rich people, you know? And then he says to him, but wait a minute, you're burning down a local store. Yeah, but they're rich, you know? They're rich now. Now, these are the kind of low white class trash that would have been chicken pluckers in past generations, but because their parents never worked after World War II, as you well know, the Labour Party destroyed England. And they threw out the man who saved them, which was Winston Churchill. They wanted the government welfare check. They got it, really, the Labour Party. As a result, they couldn't make a car that stayed on the road for more than about 3 minutes. There was a joke in the 50s. The Jaguars were beautiful, but it was well known by anyone who owned one that you needed a net behind them to catch the parts as they fell off, owing to the fact that the unions, every 12 minutes a tea break or whatever. They made nice things, but they didn't work very well, just like their country. It looks nice, but it doesn't work very well. So let's listen to two London rioters speaking with the BBC on clip 3.
Everyone was just going to riot, just going mad, like chucking things, chucking bottles.
Breaking into stuff.
It was good,
breaking
though. Bottles.
It was madness.
Chucking
bottles.
Yeah, it was good, though.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
So you're drinking a bottle of rosé wine.
At 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, 3 hours.
Have you been drinking all night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's the government's fault.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Conservatives.
Yeah, whatever who it is,
it's
don't know.
It's not even a right. It's showing the police we can do what we want.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, showing the police we can do what we want. And now we have.
So do you reckon it will go on tonight?
Yeah, hopefully.
Definitely.
Hopefully.
Oh, hopefully, yeah.
But this
yeah,
is like no, local got... people. I mean, why is it targeting local people and your
yeah,
own people?
It's the rich people. It's the rich people, the people that have got businesses, and that's why all of this has happened, because they're rich people. So we're just showing the rich people that we can do what we want.
We're just showing the rich people that we can do what we want. Now, Obama's been targeting the rich here, too. That would be you. If you own a corner hardware store, actually, there aren't any anymore. They're all chain stores. But let's say you own a corner something store, whatever it may be, a small family business. Obama has been castigating you, putting you down, targeting you, telling you you're rich, telling you you're no good, basically winking at the poor to riot. And Jerry Brown is not too far behind in clip 7. Listen to the next one, old Jerry Brown in clip 7.
At some point, I would hope that people will be willing to pay some more money. And if necessary, I believe there will be on the ballot next November opportunities for the people to say, yeah, I'm willing to pay a little more money. If they don't, we will continue to retrench. And we will erode the university, the safety net, the roads.
All right, get off your soapbox. Of course they're going to vote higher taxes. They don't pay any taxes. How do you think the whole Democrat establishment runs in California? On the votes of illegal aliens, union members, and gerrymandering. The people who pay taxes don't want to pay more taxes. It's the bums who pay no taxes who want us to pay more taxes. But, you know, explaining that to a man like this is impossible. These are delusional liberals. Delusional. They may be very powerful. But liberals like this fantasize that spending more money will fix the economy. They have no idea what they are talking about. It never worked, never has worked. It destroys. It destroys. It destroys. And then on the other hand, we have the sanity of Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter, who went to the Mount Carmel Baptist Church talking tough to black teenagers because the teenagers in Philadelphia, apparently some gangbangers had gone rioting. And listen to him in clip 28.
And if you go to look for a job, don't go blame it on the white folks or anybody else. If you walk in somebody's office with your hair uncombed and a pick in the back and your shoes untied and your pants half down, tattoos up and down your arm, on your face, on your neck, and you wonder why somebody won't hire you, they don't hire you because you look like you're crazy.
Now, as I say, although he himself is African-American, we suspect that the DHS, the FBI, and any other governmental agency that is involved in hate crimes will be investigating Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter because he spoke so harshly to a specific ethnic group. And as I say to you, the way liberalism works is that going on, then you are no longer protected either by your race, your color, or your sexual orientation. This is the Savage Nation. It's a terrible day in the world, and all I've got is my wits and my sarcasm. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Everyone was just going to riot, just going mad, like chucking things, chucking bottles,
breaking into stuff.
It was good
breaking
though.
Into shot. It was madness.
Yeah, it was good though.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
Conservatives.
Yeah, whatever who it is.
It's
don't
not
know.
Even a riot, it's showing the police we can do what we want.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, showing the police we can do what we want. And now we have. It's the rich people, the people that have got businesses, and that's why all of this has happened, because the rich people. So we're just showing the rich people that we can do what we want.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London. At the moment, everything is quiet. For reasons of national as well as personal security, I am unable to tell you the exact location from which I'm speaking. About 5 minutes ago, the guns in the immediate vicinity were working. I was up here earlier this afternoon and looking out over these housetops, looking all the way to the dome of St. Paul's. I should think in a few minutes there may be a bit of shrapnel around here. Coming in, moving a little closer all the while. Earlier this evening, we could hear occasionally, again, those were explosions overhead. There they are. That hard, stony sound.
That was Edward R. Murrow, of course, reporting from England in the World War II when the country was under attack by the Nazis. They're now under attack from the liberal Nazis and their minions in the streets known as the children, the poor children, the oppressed minorities and the oppressed whites, who have the rhetoric in their heads, like sugar cane dancing in their heads, put in their heads by the liberal establishment, that anyone who owns a bake shop or a candy shop or a butcher shop is a rich person, and therefore they're a legitimate target. You know, it was quite fun. We're drinking wine. We're going to do it again tonight. You know, the police, we showed them we can do what we want.
The it's the rich people, the people that have got businesses, and that's why all of this has happened, because the rich people. So we're just showing the rich people that we can do what we want.
Mm-hmm. See, we've gone from Edward R. Murrow to Anderson Blooper in one generation. The apogee and the perigee of broadcasters in one generation. And so what can I say to you? At the same time, this is one of the saddest days in American history because 22 Navy SEAL personnel were killed the other day. Three Air Force troops, a five-member Army air crew, and a military dog, all killed because of the incompetence of some idiot moron in the Defense Department who put them all on a slow-flying a helicopter that went into a trap. The Taliban claim that they've infiltrated the Afghan military, which means they have now backdoored into the U.S. Defense Department military through Afghanistan. And so therefore, these men are dead. Now, you would expect that a commander-in-chief would ask the country to have a moment of silence, or he'd ask for flags to fly at half-staff. But this incompetent, the commander-in-chief, not only would not want you to do that, because it would show what an inept man he really is, but he has not released the names of those killed. He has also forbidden press coverage. Now, in the past, there was an 18-year ban on media coverage of the returns at Dover in Maryland, but it was lifted in 2009 by then-Defense Secretary Robert Pink Tye Gates, and it was left the decision to the families of the war dead, who were not given that option this time. The Pentagon overrode the grieving widows, the grieving fathers, the grieving mothers, the grieving grandparents of the dead military men. And the Pentagon blacked it out. No media coverage whatsoever, ever. And you know why. They're lying. They're saying that they don't want you to cover it. They don't want to cover it because the remains are all mixed up. It's a lie. The military is covering up this travesty and this tragedy because they will be blamed for what they are. A bunch of pension-watching pensioners. Several news organizations, incidentally, agree with me and have protested the Pentagon's decision to prohibit coverage of the return of their remains. It's a disgrace. It's a double disgrace. It's an outrage. And I will tell you right now, although the military is launching a probe into the helicopter, listen to what the AP says. I couldn't believe this. Military launches probe into helicopter crash. That's the headline from the vermin at the Associated Press. Military launches probe into helicopter crash. This is what they teach them in a journalism school? You have the single largest loss of Navy SEALs in history under Obama the incompetent. And they say military launches probe into helicopter crash. That's like saying man shoots 13 at Fort Hood. This is why we are in the state we're in, because of the vermin in the media. Either they don't know what's going on, they have lost the ability or never had it, where they could actually say what's going on, or they're actually doing it on purpose. It's very hard to tell a difference. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. If you have fools like this writing military launches probe into helicopter crash instead of saying it like it is, the worst travesty to ever hit the U.S. Navy SEALs, our elite of the elite, and our commander-in-chief hides the return of the remains as they come into Dover because he knows that the world will finally see him for what he is, a common community organizer lifted up by the trillionaires who are raping the economy. That's why. There's your president. And if you think I'm alone on this, you're mistaken. Many millions of people see this. Of course, not anybody on the More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks. And of course, the worst of them all, the worst is Andrea Mitchell, who, in my opinion, her and her old man, Alan Greenspan, should be investigated for collusion as part of the government media complex. The breeziness of Andrea Mitchell as she covers up for Obama in clip 19 is something that you must hear. Listen.
Basically, he was saying that no rating agency can take away our AAA rating or our that we're still a AAA country. So I think this was a call to leadership, to hope, and to try to push back against those who were saying that we are somehow psychologically weakened by what S&P did.
Of course, there is no shame with Andrea Mitchell. If she looked in the mirror, she would say, I quit. If she actually saw herself in the mirror, she would just quit and never be seen in public again. She'd have the decency to never do this to the people of the world, to show her face. But there it is. That's the American media saying that this is a call for to leadership and hope, what Obama said the other day. As you well know, they're a wholly owned subsidiary of the government, because General Electric pays no taxes on their U.S. earnings. Therefore, MSNBC, which is owned by NBC, which is owned by General Electric, they're told what to say, which is to salute the man in the White House at all costs, no matter what he says. To always say the king has clothes, even if he has no clothes. And so therefore, she's saying, although he appeared naked, he was fully clothed in a regal robe. West Virginia, Karen, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Dr. Savage.
Yes.
I'm very entertained this evening by your program, but also had a comment.
Entertained? You must be a very, very weird puppy if you're entertained. How could you be entertained?
I'm finding it enlightening what you're
I take offense when people say they're entertained. I mean, I'm throwing out information that shouldn't be entertaining. I admit that my sarcasm can be somewhat enlightening and entertaining, but I don't mean to ridicule you, but my God, how much worse could it get under this incompetent clown in the White House?
It's nowhere else to go. But
the world is burning. The economy is melting down. Our elite soldiers are being killed because of the schmucks in the military who put them all on a slow-turning helicopter, and I'm supposed to sit here and tell jokes.
No, absolutely not.
So, I'm sorry, what made you call then?
I was encouraged by what you had to say when you were reporting about Mayor Nutter. I've always viewed him as a very liberal politician, and his comments have taken me by surprise.
Boy, he's terrific. He should be president instead of the clown we have in the White House. He ought to run for the presidency, the mayor of Philadelphia. Let's see how far he gets, having gone off the liberal plantation.
Savage.
World in crisis. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. World in crisis. Markets are diving. around the world. They popped up a little here, but the mobs are burning London to the ground, an air of crisis descending on the world. London, large parts of the city succumbed to uncontrolled violence. Far East stocks leveled out at 3%. Europe fell 3.5 to 5%. Wall Street slid 5 to 7% Monday. More than $70 billion were wiped out in global trading Monday, hours after U.S. President Barack Hussein Obama said America will always be a AAA country. Navy SEALs unit which killed bin Laden loses 22 men in Afghan helicopter crash shot down by an unsophisticated RPG as a result of the incompetent pension watchers in the military who put them all on a slow-flying, slow-turning Chinook helicopter, killed 31 U.S. troops, 7 Afghan commandos in the rugged Wardak province east of Kabul early Saturday. The single largest U.S. loss of life in the Afghan war, buried by the vermin in the media, covered up by the Obama administration, who will not let us see the return of the remains. It's shocking to see this, especially now that we know the Taliban has developed methods for attacking U.S. choppers with the very non-sophisticated RPG. Astounding, the what's going on in this world. The rocket-propelled grenade, which is not a standard anti-aircraft weapon, was used to shoot down a Chinook helicopter. The Taliban has now perfected a method for shooting down low-flying American helicopters. We know this. Anyone in the media knows this. And yet the vermin and the idiots, the morons, the fat old men in the Pentagon put them all on one helicopter and a slow helicopter. Why? Why would they put them on a low-flying, slow-turning American helicopter? You know that there's going to be an investigation on the incident, but it's a whitewash from the beginning. A total whitewash. Already we're hearing different reports about what the mission was about. And there's no point in reporting what we're hearing. But the fact of the matter is it was the single largest loss of death in Afghanistan since the incompetent Obama became commander-in-chief. Who was it in the military? Let's ask a simple question without emotion. Who in the military said you will all fly on a single helicopter into enemy territory to rescue your comrades? Was it Leon Panetta, the new defense secretary, fresh from Monterey's crab boats? Who was it who made this decision? Was it our commander-in-chief, fresh from the barbecue? Grease still on the apron? Barbecue hat still on his head? Tongs still in his hands? Who made this decision? Who made this decision? Navy SEALs unit which killed bin Laden loses 22 men in Afghan helicopter crash. Nothing. But as I say to you, if a dirty, filthy, degenerate, drug-addicted slut in the entertainment industry shoots herself up finally and goes to hell where she belonged from the get-go, the media doesn't stop for 3 weeks showing pictures of her life as an infant in a cradle. The grieving parents, Amy Winehouse, this went on for 2 weeks. Anderson Cooper puts on a fresh pair of tight jeans. Unbelievable to me. Where's the half staff around this country? I'm the only one in America asking for it. Why is there no half staff, Mr. Obama? Have you no shame? Barack Obama, have you no shame? Let's assume you are born in America. What country do you live in? The eternal scream of the powerless that I have. Tell me why there are no half staff of flags across this country. I'd like an answer to this. Why am I the only one asking this question? The single largest loss of life in Afghanistan since the community organizer took over the reins of the military. And we're not learning who put them on one helicopter, flew them into the zone in a slow-turning helicopter to begin with. But they're dead. They're dead. And there's no culpability. No one's responsible. But more than that, there's absolutely no national mourning, no lowering of the flags, no moment of silence. I mean, if I were in charge, I'd ask America to stop across the country for a moment of silence. I'd have the cars stop in every city of this country. I would declare a moment of silence for the fallen men in Afghanistan. But that's the kind of country I grew up in. Not this, run by gangs and by community organizers with staple guns in their head. Stephen in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Panetta, who's now the Secretary of Defense, it happened under him, right?
Yes.
He also did a similar, missed up something else as the CIA director. They had, seven CIA agents were brought in, and they let a bomber come in, and he passed through seven or eight levels of security, and he blew them all up. Do you remember that?
I really don't. Well, I know he has a I know he has a very distinguished career as a Democrat apparatchik for many, many years. So he's been rewarded, and they pushed him right to the top by the Peter Principle, which is that the less competent you are, the higher up the chain you go, so that you don't cause any trouble or make any waves.
No, it's worse than that, because the story was also submerged. They didn't tell you how it happened, the stupidity of it. Okay.
Well, he was busy running Monterey University in the crab boat area of Central California before he was selected by Obama to run the CIA. You know, that was a great background. No background at all in national security. Who else could be better to run the CIA? And now, of course, no experience in this area. Who else could be better to run the Defense Department than a man who really doesn't know anything about defense?
What happened?
I mean, actually think about it, because that way you can't make waves. When those above you tell you, you know what, put all of the SEALs in a single helicopter that's slow turning. You don't even know what they're talking about. Put them on a Greyhound bus and send them over the mountain pass. Send them over the Khyber Pass in a Greyhound bus, an old Greyhound bus. It would have been about the same chance of survival as sending them over the Khyber Pass in a Greyhound bus that they bought from a short line museum. Sacramento, Charlie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that the flags aren't a half staff. More people are covering Charlie Sheen on Facebook than they are caring about this incident. This is ridiculous.
Well, that's how you wind up with Barack Obama for president. That's how you wind up with people on MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, and CNN, because the people are stupid and don't deserve any better. That's all. There's a very small number of us who actually know what's going on. And an even smaller number of us willing to put their bodies on the line, as the military are, to keep us from completely descending into a chaos and being taken up over the Islamo-fascists. New York, W.O.R. Royce, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Royce?
What is the responsibility of parents of these so-called thugs who participated in the violent flash mob at the Wisconsin State Fair attacking people? I haven't seen it on TV. Have you?
What? I'm sorry, what'd you ask me?
There was a mob flash, a flash mob at the Wisconsin
State
Fair where they were beating up people.
Yeah. That wasn't reported because it was all blacks beating up whites. That was not worthy of reporting.
Oh.
Because it would steam up the Tea Party and people like you, racists like you, who would add fuel to your fodder, so they can't let you see that. Instead, every picture has to show it in reverse. They have to bring out a skinhead with a Nazi tattoo on his forehead to scare you, or Charles Manson or something like that. The BBC was criticized today. That's the Baby Broadcasting Corporation in England. The Baby Broadcasting Corporation was criticized today over the London riots for still branding the thugs as protesters. They're burning things down. Someone is dead, but they're calling them protesters. BBC is still calling them protesters. I don't want to tell you what the BBC called me when I was banned from England. But as you well know, the Baby Broadcasting Corporation is not too far from our PBS. In fact, if you took the letters of BBC and PBS and you jumbled them together, you can pretty much take those letters and jumble them into saying CPUSA. 1-800-449-8255. David in Tennessee, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thanks for having me on. I had a quick comment about your challenging, I guess, the competence of the leader's decision to put all the Navy SEALs on the same bird. You may not be, I guess, have the tactical knowledge.
No, I have no military experience nor any tactical knowledge, but I have common sense. And I know that you don't put all your eggs in one basket. Isn't that commonsensical?
Absolutely, yes, sir. And I guess the basic comment was that I appreciate you challenging. Of course, everybody appreciates the fact that these men were willing to sacrifice their life, of course.
You look at their pictures. We got them up on michaelsavage.com. Your heart could break, because these are the all-American boys that we all looked up to. They're dead. They're gone. The families are destroyed for life. And we have a president who won't even let us see the return of their remains because he doesn't want America to see what an incompetent commander-in-chief he is.
Right, absolutely.
What do you say about a media that lets them get away with this? What if, God forbid, this had happened under George Bush and all these commandos died in one incident, in one helicopter? What do you think would have happened if the code stinkos would have come out of their clavins, rioting in the streets, throwing pies at people? Where are the code stinkos today? They're covering again for their leader in chief. The Chinook is a piece of garbage made for moving bags of boxes of ammunition, for moving cattle over mountain passes. I frankly, as a non-military man, I'm shocked that I'm the only one saying what I'm saying. Why did they use a Chinook in a mission like this? Why? I want a simple answer from this. I want an answer to this question. I want it from an expert. Alan in Santa Maria, go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm definitely not an expert, but I did graduate from just recently a political science major, and I wrote my thesis. I'm actually on Afghanistan and the Russians there, as well as the Americans and NATO. And basically, there's more than meets the eye. You're completely 100% right. To bring in a Chinook, you're right. It's a piece of garbage. It's old. They should have been using Black Hawks. I mean, when they went to go get Osama bin Laden, they had specialized Black Hawks we had never even seen before until we saw footage of the blunt.
All right, so why did they use this old flying bus that should be in a museum of the Vietnam War? Why did they put all these men on one? Did they want them to die? Did they want to weaken the SEALs unit? Did they want to break the back of the Navy SEALs? I mean, you want me to really get paranoid? I can go down that road, too. Who killed them? Was this on purpose? Did somebody in the Obama administration want the SEALs to die in order to break their resolve?
Dr. Savage, I agree with you 100%. I really
want to know which college chick in the Defense Department made this decision. I want to know which big mouth yapper from Harvard was given that job in the Defense Department. Which yapper who did this? She should be tried for homicide.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dad, I know what I'm talking about. Common sense may be rare, but it didn't leave the earth yet. I'll repeat it again. Common sense may be rare on this earth. It's as rare as a rare earth. In fact, it's rarer than the rare earths found only in Mongolia, especially in this country. But I still know what common sense is. You don't put all your apples in one basket. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. And you don't put all of your SEALs on a mission as tenuous as this in one slow-flying, slow-turning, antiquated helicopter, unless you want them all to die. It's homicide. Chicago, Arlene, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, is the news media also complicit in the downing of our brave SEALs because they gave way too much information as far as the raid?
Well, I don't know. They gave the information afterwards that they were members of SEAL Team 6, which was the same unit that killed Osama bin Laden. That we found out after the raid, not before it. I mean, did you read that before the mission?
No, but I did not want to hear who these people were. I was praying for them, and I'm thankful for them. I did not have to know who they were, because I think a target was placed on their back that same day the news media gave all that information.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't really know if the media is complicit. I wouldn't blame them. But the fact of the matter is the world is burning right now. There are terrible things going on. And we just suffered one of our greatest military losses of modern times. There are no flags at half staff. There's no moment of silence. And Barack Obama has forbid the U.S. news media from being at Dover, Maryland today when the remains arrived back from Afghanistan. This is a gigantic cover-up. Something's wrong with this picture. Steve in New York on WOR, your opinion, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, I think that I think the whole idea is crazy that any members of SEAL Team 6 were on any common transport, especially a Chinook, and it was just done to give them a way out and to give the Taliban a chance to say that they received retribution for the killing of Osama bin Laden.
Oh, my God, you're saying that Obama did this? He sacrificed the SEAL team? So that they would be they would calm down? That's quite an allegation. That goes even beyond my wildest nightmare.
Well, Barack Obama doesn't ride a bus with the common people, and an elite team like SEAL Team 6 does not ride in a Chinook with the regular soldiers.
That's what I've been saying, and all of them in one, no less. It was a big, fat target brought down by an RPG. Who in the Defense Department made that decision? Was it a chick from Harvard put inside like a KGB agent to oversee the generals who maybe are objected to this? I would like one of the generals who objected to come out from behind the curtain and say something and not worry about his damn pension. I love all these generals after they retire, they go on the television news. They're all experts after they got the fat pension and it's already vetted. Now they're experts. Ah, when I was in the military under Bush, why I said I would have said this. I tell you, I would have said that. Yeah, yeah, Andrea, I got to tell you this. Things weren't done right. Thank you very much, General Schmuck. But while they're in the military, suddenly they're dummied up. They don't say a word. I'd like to see someone break rank, come out, come on this radio show, go on any radio show. I really don't care who gets it, and tell us who did this to these SEALs. Who put them on one slow-flying, antiquated piece of crap like a Chinook? Who made that decision? Was it Obama? Was it Panetta? Was it a general? Was it a chick from Harvard who they put into the Defense Department? Who did this? I'll be right back.
Pants up and buy a belt, because no one wants to see your underwear or the crack of your butt. Nobody. Buy a belt. Buy a belt. Nobody wants to see your underwear. Comb your hair and get some grooming skills.
See, in my dream, that would be the President of the United States speaking to the mobs in America. This is Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter talking tough to black teenagers after flash mobs went wild in the streets. And he's telling them, like it is, of course, if we had a president who spoke like this, the country would be sound financially, emotionally, psychologically, and every other way. But because we have an incompetent, everything is wrong. The world is on fire. We had the biggest loss of life in Afghanistan in a single day, and he won't even let the military, the press cover the return of the remains. It's shocking. So you have to look where you can go, and you see a man like this, and we play it for you. Listen to Mr. Nutter in clip 28. It's fantastic.
And if you go to look for a job, don't go blame it on the white folks or anybody else. If you walk in somebody's office with your hair uncombed and a pick in the back and your shoes untied and your pants half down, tattoos up and down your arm, on your face, on your neck, and you wonder why somebody won't hire you, they don't hire you because you look like you're crazy.
See, that's what I like to hear coming out of the White House. I could sleep again at night. I wouldn't have insomnia waking up at 2:13 every night with a cold sweat, thinking about who's in the White House. And Axelrod there behind the scenes pulling the chain. Boeing CH-47 Chinook helicopter. First built in the 1960s. It is built by the Boeing company in the early 60s. And as I say, it's probably very good for lifting and carrying things. Moving troops, sure, artillery emplacement, battlefield resupply, all true, but not in a mission like this. Why did they put them all in one helicopter, number one? Number two, why didn't they use super-fast, stealthy helicopters, the type they used to get Osama bin Laden? They have them. Why didn't they use them? Well, they had to get something out of the short line bus museum with rotors on it? It looks like a short line bus going to South Fallsburg with a set of rotors on top. 1-800-449-8255, Michael. I mean, the show, this hour is almost gone. I have to end on a positive note, and there's no more positive note than clip 22 of Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter again. I got to hear him again. I got to go away and eat dinner. I got to hear something good. Play it.
That's part 22. Of the problem in the black community, yeah. And many other communities. But a particular problem in the black community is we have too many men making too many babies that they don't want to take care of, and then we end up dealing with your children. We're not running a big babysitting service. We're running a big government and a great city. Take care of your children.
See, now Jerry Brown really ought to sit at the feet of Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter and learn something instead of saying, well, we got to tax more, or Obama saying we got to find more revenue, or any of the other non-leaders, you know. So that's what we have leaders in this country, and very rarely do you hear them. We seek them out and play them for you on the Savage Nation. It's a very bad day in the world. That's all I could say.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Riots are breaking out around the globe, apparently amid economic anxiety. I mean, frankly, this is insane. England, as you well know, is on fire. You wouldn't know it from your local paper, but the mobs are rioting. In fact, they're stripping people in the street, saying, "We want to humiliate you." And, of course, the London police were slow to react, as they were when Murdoch was attacked a few weeks ago. They're thinking of using either water or rubber bullets. They haven't gotten around to it yet. Two London rioters spoke with the BBC, and they said the riots are the government's fault, and they're conservatives. And they said it's because of rich people. It's about showing the people and rich people that we can do what we want, and they stole sneakers and the other stuff. Here in America, we have the same mentality. Representative Jan Schakowsky, Democrat, Illinois, said, put people to work by taxing the rich. And Governor Jerry Brown says, tax the rich. Tax the rich like he's poor. Sky News' Mark Stone asked the London rioters, are you proud of what you're doing? See, when you don't punish the rioters, they go on and on and on. Rioters are robbing people on the streets of London, forcing them to strip naked, showing the rich people we can do what we want. Residents are now buying bats to protect themselves. See, there's no guns in England. And, of course, there's no England anymore. UK locks down as nights of unrest spread. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Obama went to Maryland to meet the bodies of the fallen special forces, and no media was allowed. No media was allowed. Obama did not want anyone to see his failure as a commander-in-chief. He put all of these special forces heroes on one slow-turning Chinook helicopter, and they're all dead. Any other commander-in-chief would have asked the nation to hang their flags at half-staff, or, well, he would have done something other than go out and raise money the next day. Latest reports, riots are breaking out around the globe amid economic anxiety. Let's pray it doesn't come to a neighborhood near you. We don't know what the police might do here. We have no idea because the rules of engagement here are terrible. London is reeling from three nights of rioting that's poured hundreds of people into the streets, mainly local minorities. Several dead. Neighborhoods are burnt to the ground. One man is dead. They're comparing it to the Blitz of World War II. But you wouldn't see that in your paper. Police in London say the violence began during a vigil for a man who'd been killed by police. Of course, he was a violent criminal who was in a shootout with the police. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? It's not about economics. In Israel, some 250,000 people took to the streets of Tel Aviv on Saturday over the rising cost of living. What can you expect? Israel was a socialist nation when it was founded, and now the people have to work, and they don't want to work. They like vacations. I'm Yisrael. Hi. Here are some of the demands from the vermin in the streets of Israel. Increase personal tax brackets. Enshrine the right to housing in the law. Introduce rent control. Boost mortgage relief. Stop further privatization of health facilities. Provide free education for all from the age of 3 months. Raise the minimum wage by 50%. Now, of course, this is coming from the Russian emigres who came from the Soviet Union. They don't like living in a free market. Why don't they just go back to Russia where they came from? Riots in Spain, Greece, Portugal, Philippines, China. 1,000 cab drivers in China block traffic over rising fuel costs. Syria, people dying. 1,600 killed by Assad. But, of course, Hillary has nothing to say about that. The dictator kills with impunity. But since he must be a friend of the administration. We don't see any drones flying over Syria, do you? Well, that's a report from around the world. You can read all about it on michaelsavage.com. I'm afraid to even tell you what else is on the site. The liberal delusions are overwhelming, fantasizing that more spending will fix the economy. Obama hides dead seals from press. Top right of michaelsavage.com, photos of the fallen. If you want to look at it and cry, go ahead. They're the best, the absolute best of America. London violence spreads across England. Why are there so many kids who have no ambition but to be horrible, ask the liberal Brits? That's the wrong question. The answer is, why are the citizens unarmed? And why are the police unarmed? And why don't they use more force on these vermin and kick them out of the country? Put them in a work camp. All this and more on MichaelSavage.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I want to show you some good writing. It's a popular novel. Don't get scared. Don't get frightened when I say book. I know many of you don't read. You just text. And you think that using your two thumbs makes you equal to Shakespeare. But before the two-thumb method, there was a thing called penmanship. Before the two-thumb message, there was a thing called books. Before the two-thumb message, there were movies based upon books. And the other night I couldn't sleep. It was around 1 in the morning. I got up and I watched a movie, and it was Priestley's Honor, which I had seen years ago and forgotten how good it was. And the reason I became fascinated again by Priestley's Honor is because it was written by probably one of the most, the finest novelists that I've ever read. In some ways, Richard Condon. Now, he wrote The Manchurian Candidate. He wrote Mile High, which I told you was about Prohibition and how it was created, how Prohibition had been created by a man who would then take over the rackets of the booze racket. He put in Prohibition, how? By funding women's groups who wanted to ban alcohol. And once the alcohol became illegal, he was ready with the smuggling the alcohol. And it's an amazing book, very much like the drugs in America today. Who knows who's funding the anti-drug hysteria in America? What do we really think? Should things really change? Why do you think there's such a battle against legalizing drugs? I mean, I'm not in favor of drug usage. I think it's a curse and a scourge, and it's destroyed our country. But you're at a point where you don't know what's destroying it more: the number of people incarcerated, the amount of police we have watching everything we do, or the drugs themselves. So anyway, he wrote the Manchurian Candidate. He wrote Mile High, and he also wrote Priestley's Honor. So I started to read. So I watched the movie about 30 minutes, but then I pick up the novel. I just happened to get the three of his books in the hardcover again. I had ordered them. And I start to read Priestley's Honor, and I found out that the movie was very true to the book. They copied almost the work. Richard Condon was actually one of the screenwriters for the movie. Directed, by the way, by John Huston, while he was still living. And his daughter Angelica Huston was in it. Jack Nicholson, if you remember, was in that movie. Now, remember, 1985 is a long time ago. 85, 95, 30, 25 years ago. It's hard to believe, right? If I say 1985, you believe it's 25 years ago. I do reversals and backwards now. So I say, 1985, why, that was just yesterday? No, it was 25 years ago. So I said, wait a minute, what does that really mean? Well, put yourself in 1985 and say 25 years ago, that would be 1960. Impossible to believe. Okay, so I'm going to read you from the book, and I'm going to show you what good writing is. Just sitting in that hotel lobby under a shiny green balaboonal hat, which by itself could return millinery to a leading place in the arts, she had slowed down the lobby traffic, as Charlie could see from across the lobby, to -9 miles an hour. He studied everyone who was within sight of her in the room, pitying poor Paulie, and he imagined that he could see old men's eyes getting misty, room clerks and bystanders developing erections, and every woman who saw her realizing that she was doomed to hostile dreams that night. She had turned Charlie's legs to water just by sitting there when he came into the lobby. Now, that's the character, the Jack Nicholson character. And the femme fatale was played by Kathleen Turner, who I didn't think was that fantastic, but Charlie Partan is apparently in love with her, right? Now, I want to read you one sentence when he falls in love with her. And he flies out to L.A. to meet this woman he fell in love with at a wedding, a mob wedding. And he meets her in L.A., and he's courting her now. He's totally in love with her, absolutely in love with her after one day. So they get into a car after a restaurant, and they drive up the Pacific Coast Highway. I'm going to read you one paragraph. I want to show you what writing can do. They drove to the ocean, then up the Pacific Coast Highway, and Charlie felt taller, better, greater, kinder, and smarter than he had ever felt in his life. Do you hear a sentence like this? I'm going to read it again. He's in love now. He's a gangster. He's a killer. And yet he's in love with this woman. They drove to the ocean and up the Pacific Coast Highway, And Charlie felt taller, better, greater, kinder, and smarter than he'd ever felt in his life. I thought that was an amazing sentence. I don't know if people could even write about love in that way anymore, what it does to a human heart. The illusion of love, because it's all an illusion, as you well know. Remember, I started by saying we're going to talk about illusions and allusions. So now we have the illusion of romantic love and what physiological and emotional effect it has on this character, which Charlie felt taller, better, greater, kinder, and smarter than he ever felt in his life. Now, maybe you remember those feelings from when you were 17. I don't know. Remember what it was like? When a girl liked you and you liked her, oh my God, they say the man feels he can conquer the world. Yeah, well, click, click, 3 years later, get back to me on that one. How about when love leaves you? How about when the illusion leaves you? What happens to the man or to the woman when that illusion, that romantic illusion leaves you? Well, we could spend a lot of time talking about what love is and what love isn't and how it was a rather recent phenomenon. It didn't even exist in biblical times. The whole concept of love is kind of a modernistic idea. There was no love in the ancient days, incidentally. Love, the idea of romantic love, as I understand it, is rather recent, last few hundred years. For most of mankind throughout history, marriage was based upon something other than love, other than romantic love. And you could joke and say based upon lust. Okay, fine. We know that's a given. But it was based basically on a contract between a man and a woman, sort of a business contract, to go into business together, the business of raising a family and building lives. That's what marriage really is at the end of the day. And depending upon your business partner, your business will either thrive. Well, your business partner and luck and circumstances, of course. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. Oh, there's another great line in here. I got to read this to you. Hold it. Hold it. Listen to this one. So we're talking about Prezi's honor. And what's the dedication in the front of the book? Listen to this. You're going to love this one. But dreadful is the mysterious power of fate. There is no deliverance from it by wealth or by war, by fenced city or dark sea-beaten ships from the book Antigone. Can you believe that? I'm going to read that to you again. Many of you think that you can lock out fate with money, or you can lock out fate with a guard or a security guard, or, you know, calling 911, or being surrounded by powerful people. But dreadful is the mysterious power of fate. There is no deliverance from it by wealth or by war, by fenced city or dark sea-beaten ships. How many of you have not experienced that in your life? How many of you want to call this show right now and tell me what fate has done to you when least expected? How's that for a show topic? And the phone number, you know, 1-800-449-8255. I'll read it once again. But dreadful is the mysterious power of fate. There is no deliverance from it by wealth or by war, by fenced city or dark sea-beaten ships, from Antigone. How has fate influenced your life? When has fate entered your life and turned it from one form to another? From poor to rich, from rich to poor, from health to sickness, from marriage to divorce? You want to go into what fate did to you? Now, I tell you, we all know about fate. Remember I read the story when I wrote years ago, 2 years ago was it already, Psychological Nudity, and I talked to you about the Leather Man. Many of you loved that story because it was so bittersweet. The father's friend, the Leather Man, who rose from the poverty of the Lower East Side where he didn't have a penny, and he became wealthier than my father did by going into a certain business which took off in the 1950s. And he moved to a much better house than we had. We lived in an attached house. He was able to move to a detached house, so to speak, out in Long Island, you know, with a lawn all around it as opposed to an attached wall. Now, that was considered much wealthier. While we had a used car, he had a new car. While we had a flat living room, he had a sunken living room. While we had a phonograph, he had a stereo. You get the picture, right? So things went on very well for him. Soon he had expanded the Leather Man. He had a chain of leather stores. And then lo and behold, as fate would have it, I go away. I go out on my own road. I travel to the Fiji Islands. I leave the entire kith and kin behind. I want to set out on my own road. I know if I stay in New York, I'd be dead within a short... I wouldn't be dead. My soul would be dead. I wouldn't have gotten anywhere in life. I just was not cut from the same cloth as my kin and kith. I wasn't. I was always different. I was always driven by other... Doesn't mean I'm better, okay? It means I'm different. It's as simple as that. So I had to follow my own star. Whatever the influences were, I knew I had to get out of New York. So I left in 67 or so, 68. And the rest was an astounding ride. What a roller coaster ride it's been. What I'm saying is, I come back from that road to the plant collecting, the Fiji, the Samoa, the Tahiti, the plant. And now I'm a man. I have a child. I'm married. I'd left when I was still really a boy. And the leather man had been riding high. I come back a few years later. I am sitting in my living room. I think my father was dead. Or actually, to tell you the truth, I think I came back from my father's funeral. Truthfully, I mean, I don't remember. A lot of it's jumbled up in my head. And lo and behold, who's sitting there, shrunken up in the chair? The leather man, who, by the way, I'm not here to mock him. I love this man. I loved all of my father's friends. There wasn't one man in the entire circle that I didn't have a fondness for. I loved all of these guys. I loved all of my uncles. It was an amazing time. I don't know what's happened to the world. But I had a big heart for these people. They were all kindly, good guys. So anyway, he's sitting there, shrunken down. He was a heavy cigar smoker. Heavy cigar smoker. And he looks up at me, and his eyes are wandering. And he says, Michael, look what happened to me. Look what happened to me. I didn't know what happened to him. He says, I have nothing. I lost everything. And he wound up living at this point now with his children back in a relative's apartment in the slums of New York that he had left 30 years before. He lost his house. He lost his business. Everything. The fortunes had changed. Fate had changed. And here he was. His eyes were bewildered. He didn't know how this could happen to him. And he looked at me and he said, look what happened to me. Look what happened to me. Then he says this. Then he says, I wish God had only given me cancer instead of this. I said, don't say that. Well, lo and behold, he was dead within a year from brain cancer. That's an absolutely true story. It's in Psychological Nudity. It's an example of what fate is, and not tempting fate. And don't ask God for something because he's liable to hear you.
Savage.
You know, over the past week, we've seen the U.S. credit rating downgraded, stock market plummeting. Up and down and down and up. We're joined by Jerry Boyer, the chief economist at Benchmark Financial, to discuss the struggling economy. Jerry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on the show today, Michael.
Was what we have been seeing this past week a hiccup, or are we on the brink of a real depression?
I don't think we're on the brink of an economic depression or a deep recession. I almost wish we were. As opposed to what we probably do face, which is a long period of economic stagnation. The thing about a steep downturn, a deep recession or depression, is that they can actually be fairly limited in time. And what happens is, you know, there's a steep downturn, businesses retool, people get their act together, yes, households start saving again, and then you can come out of something like that strong. Like we did, for instance, after the deep recession, of Jimmy Carter, you know, into Reagan. And there's a kind of in and out clarity to it. And when it's over, it's over. And you can actually get back on a good growth path. In fact, growth tends to be strong after deep recessions or depressions. But we have something worse. We are probably looking at a grinding stagnation. Not official, two quarters of negative growth, which is your definition of a recession, but just it never goes away. Every day you wake up and you say, is it over yet? And it's not for years and years. Something more like in the 1970s in the United States or a lot of the 80s in Western Europe, with habitually high unemployment rates, very long-term unemployment, people being unemployed for long periods of time, a lot of people underemployed or discouraged workers, and stagnant growth. And on top of that, steady inflation so that you're not getting more pay, but the grocery bill is more. And that's probably more demoralizing. What we're facing is probably more demoralizing than a sudden downturn, a double dip.
All right. So how much blame do you assign to President Obama for the economic mess that we're currently in?
Obama gets most of the blame. This is his economy. He's gotten almost everything he wanted. He could certainly argue when he came into office that he inherited Bush's recession. But it's hard to argue after he got to nationalize auto companies, nationalize Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the giant mortgage bankers, a national healthcare, nationalizing large portions of the healthcare industry, a financial regulation omnibus bill that basically allows them to regulate almost any business as though it's a bank, and to not only regulate but essentially micromanage. And he got his $700 billion stimulus bill. It was really hard for Obama to say, you know, this isn't his. He got his policy agenda through. He bragged about getting his policy agenda through, about how effective they were with health care, for example, or financial regulation. When he passes one of these bills and he has his signing ceremony in the Rose Garden, he brags about what they accomplished. Well, okay, if you brag about your legislative accomplishments, then you have to live with the economy that comes from them. So this is mostly his. Bush deserves a fair amount of blame, by the way. I mean, a lot of what Obama has been doing is doubling down on Bush. You know, Bush did a stimulus plan. Bush did a bailout. Obama just took those things and pushed them even further. So I'd say our current, in terms of the last two presidents, probably two-thirds blame Obama, one-third blame Bush.
Okay, so why aren't employers hiring?
Employers aren't hiring because the environment punishes you for hiring. If you hire somebody, you automatically incur not only the obligation to pay their salary, but now you've incurred the obligation to pay health care benefits. And health care benefits that you can't calculate, because you not only do you have to buy them health care, but you have to buy them a minimum amount of health care as defined by the federal regulations, and the federal regulations aren't written yet, so you don't know what the minimum is. So if I'm a, you know, if I'm a corporate manager and I say, look, I need to hire 10 people in my department because I want to grow, and I go to the human resources department, I say, okay, HR, I need five mid-level managers, I need two upper-level managers, I need two or three line personnel. What are they going to cost me? Personnel will say, well, I can tell you what the salary is, but I can't tell you what the health care obligation is. We can't calculate it yet because the government hasn't given us the rules. And chances are the government's going to punish you if you fire those people by making them pay health care after they leave. So in an environment like that, when you cannot calculate the liability for health care benefits associated with hiring somebody, then the smart move is not to hire. The smart move is to overwork the people you already have, maybe do some outsourcing, maybe bring some temps on and never make them permanent employees, because you'd be crazy to make a permanent commitment, and that's what it is now almost. You'd make a permanent commitment to hire somebody when you can't count the cost of what that commitment is because government has raised the regulatory burden so much. So, number one, Obamacare is killing the job market. Number two, among young people, we massively increased minimum wage. Minimum wage went up from, I think, $5.15 an hour to $7.50 in the past couple of years. And that has basically priced out the bottom rung or two of the economic ladder. And that's why unemployment rates among young people are something like 30%, rather than, say, 9 or 10% as for the rest of us, and especially for minority youth. So what we're doing is we're creating a situation where we have habitually unemployed young people, especially minority, especially male. We're creating a class of minority, young, chronically unemployed people. And that's not just an economic problem. That's a social problem, too. That kind of thing strains the social fabric. And I think we're going to pay a price in violence and in unrest for that decision.
What do you say to someone who says that we need more money for a stimulus?
What I say is that you people are like medieval doctors. You know, the more the patient fades, the more leeches you want to put on them. They have this terrible confirmation bias. They're so sure they're right about their Keynesian economics that when they do the biggest Keynesian experiment that we've ever had in American history, which we just did, and you have the weakest recovery that we've had in the post-World War II era, they think they didn't do enough of what they wanted. Whereas the rest of us say, can't you see the obvious fact that you're bleeding the economy with excessive government spending? But see, they're so sure that they're right. They're so, it's almost more than a rational, logical thing. It's almost a psychological distortion that they are so sure that they must be right and we must be wrong, that when they do the wrong thing and bad things happen, somehow they're able in their interior mind to convince themselves that the problem was that they didn't get every last thing that they wanted. So $750 billion of stimulus. We already had a roughly $2 trillion monetary stimulus, that is new money created by the Fed. So it's rather, and you add in, you know, some of the other programs, and we're basically looking at $3 trillion in stimulus, and we had the worst recovery of any recession after World War II. And the odd thing is that the pattern in history is the deeper the recession, the stronger the recovery. So when the president says, well, things aren't where we want them to be, but remember, when I took over, things were really bad, so it takes a while to come back, well, that's a lie. Because history suggests that the deeper the recession, the stronger the recovery because of what they call the baseline effect. You know, the basis of comparison, if last year was really lousy, this year doesn't have to be so great in order to look really good compared to last year. And the other thing is we already have knowledge from history around the world. Other countries have tried the Keynesian stimulus model. Japan in the 1990s, Europe in the 1980s. It didn't work there. It won't work here. It hasn't worked here. Not because the Republicans haven't given in on everything or not because it's just some kind of crazy thing, who knows what'll work, but because the policy direction is wrong. And until we get different leaders, we're going to have the same bad policy direction and we're going to stagnate.
How bad is the sell-off compared with the 2008 crisis?
Probably about the same, but a little more balanced outside of America than inside America. The 2008 crisis was America having a crisis and the rest of the world getting pulled down with us. This one is kind of a combination. America has a debt crisis, but Europe has a debt crisis. And there's some evidence now that China is showing some signs that it was in a bubble, a debt bubble, heading towards some sort of crisis. So we've got, there's basically three economic drivers in the modern world. The United States, biggest economy in the world, European Union, second biggest if you count it as a union, and China, third largest economy in the world. And it's almost like three poles holding up, you know, an old circus tent. Well, the U.S. pole is broken, and the European pole is broken, and the China pole is looking like it might break, so the whole tent is coming down. So the difference now between now and 2008 isn't that much how big it is, but is it mainly a U.S. problem affecting the rest of the world, or is it kind of spread out, which is scarier? If it's a global problem, then who rescues us? And who's going to bail out the Eurozone if we don't have any money? Who's going to pull China into a stronger growth pattern if we're not consuming their goods? You need to have at least one strong economy in the world, and it looks like we don't have any real strong regional economies. So 2008 was a U.S. recession, even arguably depression. 2011 is a global one.
Okay, so what's your advice to the average investor listening to this show?
Well, I wrote a book basically laying out how to deal with times like this, Free Market Capitalist Survival Guide. The idea being that a lot of people had written material or given speeches saying that the policy direction is the wrong direction, Obama was the wrong guy, Obama's a socialist, et cetera. All of that stuff's true, but no one was saying, okay, it's real and it's really happening, and how do you get through it? So, you know, some of the stuff I talk about in the book is commodity investment, especially gold. Now, there comes a point where gold prices get so high that that's no longer the wonderful thing that it was. You know, one of the things that I really like right now is as the United States becomes less economically free, increasingly the portfolios that I help people manage, what I've said is the U.S. is getting less free. America is less American. So take money out of our markets and put it into the other countries around the world that want to imitate what we used to be. We are now 10th from the top on the index of economic freedom. That means there's 9 countries freer than us, and we're trending down. And a number of other countries are trending up. So, I mean, we can look at America and say, oh, it's terrible, the direction we're going in, and it is. But I'm mostly interested in surviving. You know, the best form of protest is survival. I'm mostly interested in coming through this financially and economically intact so that when the world figures out that this is the wrong direction, I'm solvent. You know, I can come back and invest in America when it's worthy to be invested in again. So I would say the big play right now, and it's a long-term one, is taking money away from the places that used to be free and rich, like the United States and Europe, et cetera, and putting it in the countries that used to be poor and used to be socialist but are moving towards free market capitalism. So sell socialism, buy capitalism. So if Canada is more free market than we are, then, you know, Canada might be a more attractive investment environment. Singapore, extremely attractive investment environment. Hong Kong, Australia has been moving towards freedom as we've been moving away from it. Now, none of these countries are perfect, but the fact is a lot of them are now better than we are. So if they want to be America and they act like America used to, then you can get American kind of returns in countries like that, or at least have a much better chance of doing it. So I think that this thing in America is temporary. I think this is temporary insanity, and we're going to come back to our senses. But in the meantime, you still have to pay your bills. You still have to prepare for retirement. And I say take your money, move your money from big government countries to small government countries.
Jerry Boyer, thank you for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great speaking with you. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
I'll be right back. It's The Savage Nation.
Savage.
I want to read you some of the songs I have on my song sheets that bring back a certain time in America that I loved, when the chrome was thick and the women voted Republican. I like Sorry I Ran All the Way Home by the Impalas. I like Book of Love by the Monotones. I love Little Star by the Elegants. Play Little Star by the Elegants. I want to see that. That's on my song sheet number three. Little Star by the Elegants.
Are you
Little Star? And I'll give you a memory lane. I'll give you a memory lane as I listen. I was in the ninth grade. I had skipped the grade. I was small for my age. I was 2 years ahead of myself. Some of the kids in the junior high school had been in jail already and were released. So therefore, I was a small ninth grader, and there was some very large 12th graders who should have been in prison. And I was listening to this song. They were dating, and I was still playing with the airplanes at home. How's that for a memory? How's that for a Pickle of Truth tour? All right, let's stop for a minute. I'm going to really go out on a limb today. I'm in the mood to take a chance because, as I said to you, I finished my novel and been working on it until an hour ago. Abuse of Power, guaranteed smash bestseller. The movie's going to knock you out. It's going to be so good, it's beyond belief. Won't be out till September. Don't ask me about it. So I feel as though it's graduation day, so I'm just going to have some fun. I'll do the news. I'll do the views. I'll do the reviews. But how much of this news can you take? We know Obama's a Marxist. We know that he's on training wheels. We know no matter what he does, no matter how much damage he does, no one's going to stop him. We understand that we don't live in a democracy. We understand we live in a dictatorship that's punctuated by a democracy every 4 years, if you want to call buying the election a democracy. Let's see, the cost of a seat for a Senate seat is $100 million. The cost of the presidency is $1 billion. Anyone want to enter it in this great democracy of ours? Oh, yeah, in America, anyone can be president as long as you can raise $1 billion. That's all. And if you own the media, as the training wheel president does, it makes it easier. I mean, if you own the media, what more do you need? So here's a guy from a group called Politico, which I never heard of, in clip five, who says that President Obama is the greatest orator of modern times. Listen to this.
The bloom isn't entirely off the rose between Obama and the press, but reporters are starting to concentrate more than ever on what he says rather than how he says it. We will stipulate that he's the greatest orator of modern times. But
hey,
now
schmuck. Schmuckola. Schmuckola. Hey, Putz. Putz, there's a difference between rhetoric and substance, schmuck. Didn't you learn that in high school? I mean, the first book I read in high school literature was called Style and Substance. I guess you didn't get to that in your journalism school. You didn't learn that in journalism school? There are a lot of great orators, but they're full of you-know-what. They know how to sway the moronic public. I mean, if you got a public that go see a junkie disgrace himself on the stage, a man who is disgracing the word human being, and they'll go pay for it while they're stoned, then you can understand anyone can be president of the United States of America. I don't even want to get into this, truthfully. I told you I feel good, and I'm not going to let it be ruined by you. Just because you're a listener who wants to see me crash and burn, I'm not going to do it. So I'm going to look at my song sheet now. We got a whole lot of shaking going on, though. Too hectic. In the Still of the Night by the Five Statins? No, I'm not into the triglyceride problem right now. Heartbreak Hotel by Elvis Presley, little dated. Keep a Knockin' by Little Richard, a little dirty. Love is Strange by Mickey and Sylvia. God, play Love is Strange by Mickey and Sylvia. I want to hear Love is Strange, blah, 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 blah. Remember this stupid song? Love is strange. Love hitting that cowbell really worked. Take it for a game. And it was called that hillbilly background guitar is what did it for us boys in New York. It was so different than our lives. That whole thing of the hillbilly guitar, we loved it. God, we loved it. It was so, like, rhythmically sensitive to our needs. All right, knock it off. I know what they want. They want the red meat. They want the right-wing red meat. Just give them the red meat. Cut out the ad-lib, Mike. Cut out the music. We don't pay to hear you do the music. You can't have a good time, Mike. Do the news. Stick to the work. Kill yourself. Eat your heart out. Go to an early grave. Every day, dig a deeper, Mike. Go ahead. Go into the news. Talk about the communists in the White House. Eat your heart out over the fake Republicans. Go ahead, Mike. Eat your heart out. Don't listen to music. Don't enjoy yourself. They don't want to hear anything but stick to the hard work. All right, cut the garbage. No jokes. No entertainment. All right, cut it out. We're not interested in Come Softly to Me by the Fleetwoods. All right? How about Blueberry Hill? I play that too much. Now, here's one I liked. Sorry I Ran All the Way Home by the Impalas, and I'll tell you why. The minute you listen to it, you'll know why I love this song, or at least I did when I was a kid. Let's hear Sorry I Ran All the Way Home. By... This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.